Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome inside Hour 2, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, David Gascon, in for Harmon tonight. And thanks to Jay Glazer for stopping by a few minutes ago, a conversation that just blew me away. And if you listen to it, I'm sure you felt the same way. You know, Jay is always a very big champion of mental health and talked about how it's okay to not be okay. And now that he's, you know, back to getting Unbreakable open, you know, his business where he trains NFL players, MMA fighters, to tell us like he did a few minutes ago that, you know, now teams are going to him and saying, hey, I might need some help. He says he's got four head coaches and combination of head coaches and GMs into therapy in the past few months because they said, hey, I need some help. And Jay's gotten them into some kind of therapy, some kind of help. And when he said, how cool is that? I said, yeah, that is extremely cool. That is one of the coolest things I've heard in quite a long time.
Yeah, it's wild because you think these guys are bulletproof, right? Head coaches, GMs, presidents, athletes, all walks of life, even artists, musicians, and whatnot. They travel the world. They make a lot of money. They have that celebrity status, but they're just like you and I, waking up and going to bed, maybe at different hours, of course, but they all have different demons that they're battling with, and a lot of people have those long journeys to get to where they're at. I mean, Jay Glazer's one of them, but along the way, you're burning the candle at both ends, and oftentimes you're draining yourself out. There's importance that you have in exercise, nutrition, sleep, and then the mental health component's huge. I mean, you can't be where you're at the elite level in any kind of occupation if you're not right with the mind and then also the body. Those two things work in one. So, yeah, it was fascinating. I think we asked him maybe three questions max, and he just took off.
Yeah, that was something. It really was. You know, and one of the other things that hit me, what he talked about, Dave, was when he said, you know, we've all just been through a war. Like, he trains a lot of vets, right, obviously, and, you know, it helps them come back and helps them, you know, get, you know, acclimate themselves back into society a little bit. And he's, you know, we just fought a war. We didn't get drafted in. We didn't sign up for it. We just fought this COVID war. And the COVID war for a lot of us has been trying to stay home and trying to do the right thing in a life of some kind of isolation. Yeah. And everybody's isolation is different, right? Some people deal with COVID a little bit better than others. Some people have a lot of problems doing it. I can't imagine what it must have been like to be a single person, you know, dealing with COVID. If you can't see your family, if you can't do, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine what it's been like for my daughter, who has hardly been able to see her friends over the course of the past year. It's different for everybody. But when he said that, I felt like the big phrase in my head was reacclimation, because when we were in the teeth of COVID while it was going on, I felt like I had a pretty good handle on it. Well, we can't go out for a while, and we're getting used to this new way of life. And after we're doing it for a while, okay, right? I feel like, all right, you know, I do the show from home every night, which is great because I look at the positives of I get to spend more time with my family. I get to, instead of having to leave an hour and a half earlier to get into work, I can walk into my office and get on and do the show, and I can have dinner with them every night and all these things. And I felt like I had a pretty good handle on it. And now here we are coming out of it, and I have this sense of, I feel like that the reacclimation to life is very uneasy. I understand now when people say things like, boy, it's hard to reacclimate to life. And I'm not, you know, trying to equate like what I'm going through coming back to what it's like for someone coming back from a war. Obviously, things you see and what you deal with is on an incredible level. But I understand more the sense of belonging and reacclimating to, hey, how do I get used to life again? How do we get back to living life like it used to be? And I have a lot of questions. There's trepidation. I mean, are we going to go back to the way it was? Are we going to, is it going to be in staggered terms? How are we going to feel? How am I going to feel when I go to a movie theater for the first time? Am I going to be excited? Is my heart going to be racing, going, should we be in the right place here? I mean, it's a really, really weird thing. And for me, this is the weirdest feeling that I've had. And maybe part of it is because you didn't know when it was going to end, and we had gotten used to that way of life. But now here it comes, and I'm ready for it, and I'm excited. You know, I got my first COVID shot today, which I was really excited for. And I don't know if that's part of it, but, you know, just feeling that maybe this is the part that now it feels real, right? Like, I got my first COVID shot, so I'm going to get the next COVID shot in a month, and then I'll be able to do whatever. Because that's what they say. Hey, you go out, you live your life, you know, still wear a mask, and still, for other people, because not everybody's going to have the COVID shot, so you want to wear a mask. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But now I feel like it's real, and we're going to be able to do things like go to the movies and go have dinner inside, and my daughter's softball season is starting, and I'm managing the team this year, and we're going to get set to have our first game coming up, you know, very soon. So it's like all of these things are happening at once, and I have this feeling of I don't know what's next. I don't know, am I just going to handle this like I normally did? How is it going to go? Is it going to be weird? Am I going to be thinking too much about it? Like I said, it's that sense of trepidation of not knowing how reacclimation is going to go.
It's fascinating because I wonder if your mind would be different, let's say, if you lived in Texas or Florida or like Utah or even Idaho. I mean, I know I fit right in line with exactly what you're talking about. I actually took the steps 2 weeks ago to go back to the gym, and I felt guilty enough that when I got into the gym, I was looking and feeling around like, is that a biohazard? Is that a biohazard? Like, I was looking at everyone completely differently, and you're in a workout facility, which you're working on your health, on your immune system, and I was guilty enough to be in there thinking that. And I can't help but caution that, yeah, if I'm in a grocery store, if I'm working out, if I'm at work, wherever I may go, those are the first things that creep into my mind, which is unfortunate. Like, I haven't taken the step of traveling and going on a plane just yet, but I do know some people that have flown Southwest and they pack you in, no seat is unoccupied. Mm-hmm. And then other airlines like Delta, the middle row is unoccupied. So, like, I haven't taken that step yet, but I do think that, you know, us being in California, some of our colleagues in New York, those are different mind frames as opposed to someone in a different state that has the open access, I guess, if you will. Not necessarily to say that's better or worse, but it's just a different frame of mind. And yeah, as we're trying to get back to it, don't forget Dodger Stadium, Staples Center, Anaheim Ice, obviously out in Anaheim with the Honda Center and whatnot, down in San Diego with Petco Park. Like, a lot of these facilities have either been shut down or they've been used for vaccination centers. And yeah, now you're going to get fans back in. I wonder how that thing is going to feel because, I mean, sports is life for us, but also the entertainment aspect, movie theaters, concerts, the outside venues, the bars, the lounges, like, all that stuff comes into play. And of course, Las Vegas. I mean, we're 4.5 hours away on a commute driving out there to Vegas. And Vegas is all about the casinos and the sports books. And those things have been empty and dormant for the better part of a year.
Yeah, and it's funny because while we've all been going through this together, everybody's in their own bubble.
Yeah.
You know, even across the street, like, I feel like compared to some of my neighbors, we're doing way more than they are. Like, we go out to lunch almost every day. We eat outside. We make sure we wear our masks and everything. We go to the store. There's no time. It wasn't like in the beginning of COVID where it's like, okay, if I'm going to Target, yeah, I'm not leaving the house for another week, so I got to get everything. But now I feel like it's more, okay, I'll go to Target. You know what? I wear a mask because, yeah, obviously wearing a mask and not touching your face, that's going to be the best thing. And social distance. Don't be really close to people. But, you know, when I think about what other parts of the country are doing it, and even across the street, like, I know our, yeah, neighbors across the street have been, they've barely left their house in the last year. And I'm like, okay, it's kind of okay to go do some of these things, but you don't know how it's affecting everybody. Everybody is affected different. Everybody is living it different. And even though we're getting the same news updates and the same things are happening and the vaccines are happening, it's different for everybody. And no matter who you are, I guarantee you this, no matter who you are, the first time you're around some kind of big crowd where people are right next to you, it's going to feel really weird, and anxiety is going to really affect you, and you're going to have to overcome it. Because I can't. I was just thinking about this the other day with the Rangers having their opening day, you know, having all the fans, yeah, like, oh my God, I can see that. And I think about when's the last time I was really close to somebody that wasn't a member of my family, my wife or my daughter? You know, when's the last time I actually just sat right next to somebody like you normally do? Think about that. Last time you sit right next to somebody, whether it's in a restaurant or on a couch or in a movie theater, when's the last time you stood right behind somebody in line and you were the 5 inches from their back because you're in line for a hot dog or you're in line at a store and that's where the line is going? When's the last time you were that close to somebody? Now, it's good we you know, if you're at home and you're with a family, okay, you're still close with your wife, your girlfriend, your family and everything else, and you're hugging them and you're, because you know we need that human contact, that's what humans need, but just think about that. When's the last time you were really, really stood close to somebody? Some people are like, I've been doing it for a little while now. Okay, other people it's I haven't done it in a year, and it's gonna be really weird, and I can't imagine what the first time being in a big crowd is gonna be like, because I think back to the last big crowd I was in. It was a few days before the shutdown, and it was the Sunday before the shutdown, like the country shut down on a Friday, but COVID was here. It was a Sunday night, and my wife and my daughter, myself and her soccer team and her all-star team went to see LAFC play. And it's, you know, it's 30,000 people in the stadium and everybody is, you know, you're sitting in normal seats. Everything is great. And COVID's here. But we don't know where it's at and what it's going to be. But COVID is here and we're trying to deal with it. And it's the early days of, well, do we have to isolate? Do we need to wear masks? We just got to keep people out of the country. Like, I didn't know what it was going to be. And that's the last time I was ever that close to somebody. And you're talking about that's well over a year from now. I think a lot of people, it's going to take them a long time to feel normal about being that close. And maybe we're not like that anymore.
Right.
Maybe we're not like that. Maybe certain people are and certain people aren't. And we're going to be different for a long time. Do I think maybe eventually we'll get back to that? Yeah, but I don't believe it's going to be a case of, hey, everybody's got their shots. It's done. Now let's get back and everybody can be standing right next to each other again. I think there's still going to be a large portion of the population that's going to feel weird about that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I think it will be different based on age bracket, too. I think like when the youngsters and the teenagers and the young 20-year-olds are going to go right back into the fire, right? Away. And I think people a little bit older will ease their way into it. And then I think people over like maybe 50 years of age will slowly play into the normalcy that we had prior to the COVID days. I mean, I remember my last event was the day that they shut everything down. I actually called a Big West Conference tournament game in an empty gym at the Pyramid in Long Beach. And with an empty gym, my voice was certainly carrying. Players on the court could hear me. The broadcasters for ESPN could hear me. Like, I was bleeding into their call. But that's the last time we were all close together. Now, I will say, Jason, the one group that will not like this that much is the people on Bumble. You know, because now you actually have to meet these people. Like, you can't do the texting anymore, right? Like, you're connecting on your social media applications. But now it's like, wait a minute, I got to take you out. I got to buy you a drink. I got to meet you face-to-face. Like, here come the bad words, you know, right? Like, that guy didn't do this. She didn't do that. All of a sudden, it's like, we got to date a little bit now. So it's game on for those people.
Yeah, man. See, because that's the way I would want to date if I was ever single again. I'd be like, yeah, what's the least effort I could put in where I could meet somebody and have a good time but not have to worry about all kinds of... Because, there might be something I want to watch on TV at 11 o'clock. I might want to go to bed. You know, I don't know. I might have a fantasy draft to do. You know, I don't know. It's like, what, I don't know. Hey, I like this where we could just talk on for a couple minutes and then go. Because, you know, I've noticed over my life, I used to love talking on the phone.
Yes.
Right? When I was in my early 20s, I love talking on the phone. Oh, right. With girls I liked. Everything. Oh my God, I love talking on the phone. Now it's like I want to be on and off the phone like that. Like if I'm on the phone more than 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm on a phone call, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. That's it. I'm finished with it. If we can't say everything we need to say in 10 minutes, then we need to figure out another time. Because I think we can say everything we need to say in less than 10 minutes, right? We can all tell our stories. And now I'm like, okay, I don't have time for that anymore. I don't have time for these monster, you know, hour and 15-minute phone calls. Whatever. You know, just laying on the couch with the TV on and the phone's there and you're listening and you're doing something on the computer and you're saying it to the other person, describing it. They're describing it to you. I just can't do that anymore.
So it's fair to say that it's easier to slide into your DMs than to give you a call.
Oh yeah, sure. Yes, I'm deaf. I see. That's the part of dating that I'd be really up. Oh, I can just, it's 240 characters or less. Yeah, that's great, man. I'm good. I'm completely good. I could have a good fun one liner. Everybody would love me. Oh, I'd be great.
Games change, Jason.
Then they would go, wow, he really talks about the Mets a lot. Okay, what are the Mets? I don't even know what the Mets are. He talks about the Mets all the time. I don't understand. Who is this Conforto? He seems really mad about what happened. I can't date this guy. He seems insane. I don't know what the hell's going on. His avatar on Twitter is a bloody Mr. Met. I can't have that. I don't know what that is.
Mr. Met with a middle finger, right? Just before termination. That'd actually be kind of cool, though. She might actually date you just based on your personality alone with Mr. Met.
He's not weird. He's exciting weird. He's kind of unpredictable, I think.
A little stocky, but it's all good. You know, we can see each other in the moonlight or, of course, in the middle of the day, talking and watching Mets baseball all season long.
How was your first date? We watched the Mets. Oh, you watched the whole game? No, he said only to the seventh inning because then something called the bullpen gets involved and it makes him upset. So I didn't want to make him upset, so we turned the game off in the seventh inning.
Siri, what's bullpen?
Oh. That's cool. What did you do then? Well, then he showed me all the different players who were transferring out of Syracuse and then all the players who were transferring in and how it's kind of zero sum, I guess. I don't know. He's really interesting. I don't know some of these phrases he keeps throwing around. Oh. Then what happened? Then he fell asleep. Now we were in the middle of talking and he just fell asleep on the couch and I left. And I don't know. Maybe I'll see. I don't know. I thought I was telling him things that were interesting, but he just fell asleep. Then he called me after and said, hey, sorry, just really tired. Great date. And he sent me an emoji. So maybe we'll go out again. I don't know.
Well, then you could ghost her after she doesn't live up to it.
Sure.
If she's batting under 200 like Conforto 176, right, then you can kick her to the curb. No second date for you.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Dave at David J. Gascon. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Dave in for Harmon. Hey, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. So be cautious at crossings. And if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. So again, important conversations. I think something we're all going through here now as we get to the reopening of the country that we've wanted for so long. But coming up next, we got two big NFL stories coming your way. One involving an owner who really, really wants a specific player in the draft. The other could be trading a quarterback any day now. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. David Gascon in for Harmon tonight. And right now, NBA game of the night, Phoenix and the Clippers. The Suns lead it at halftime, 56-54. Chris Paul, your MVP, 6 points so far tonight, leading the way for the Suns with 6-3-3. Meanwhile, for the Clippers, Paul George, who has made a cottage industry of scoring a lot of points very early in games the past few nights, has 18 so far for the Clippers in the first half. And I'll tell you what, you know, just for a second, we spent a lot of time this year talking about the best teams in the Western Conference, and clearly we had a lot of conversation about the Lakers being the champs and the Clippers clearly coming in. Hey, this is now the year to break through. Then the Jazz had their big run throughout the entire first half, and we talked about the Jazz and how good they are. And here come the Suns now. It's like it's their turn, getting their moment in time, you know, just a game and a half out of first place overall in the Western Conference.
Man, it just sets up nicely, though, for a Chris Paul injury, right, in the postseason. Like, he's going to play.
Oh, well, come on. It always happens
but it's
to the
just
guy.
Reality. Yeah, it's unfortunate. He's gonna play great in the playoffs, have a bad turnover in crunch time, and then get injured in the following game, and then that's it.
Like, yeah, well, look, I've always said Chris Paul is great right up until the moment you need him the most, and that's when things fall apart,
man,
for Chris Paul. But look, we'll get back into the MVP talk because, you know, I said it last night on the show. Charles Barkley says
stole
it tonight. You know, anyway.
Stole it.
But we will get to we'll get back into the NBA in a little bit. But a couple of big NFL stories. And the first one revolves around quarterback. The Carolina Panthers, a couple of stories today that they have a lot of teams that are interested in Teddy Bridgewater. And according to the team, they're not locked out of getting a quarterback at number 8 if they want to, this despite making the trade for Sam Darnold. So they still could go quarterback if one is there at 8. Here's a hint. They're not going to be. The quarterback's going to go 1-5. By the time it's all said and done, people are going to jump up and the Falcons will trade out if they don't want one. And somebody will trade up to 5 to get Trey Lance. You're going to see the quarterbacks go 1-5. But I got to tell you this. And this is more about the reality for Sam Darnold is that if I'm the Carolina Panthers, I try to make a little bit of nice with Teddy Bridgewater, because if you think Sam Darnold's just going to walk in here and win the job and be great, you haven't watched Sam Darnold play in the last couple of years. All right, yes, he has more weapons, but he's not going to automatically be good just because, hey, there's good players and he's away from the Jets. Okay, he's got to take some kind of responsibility for not being good. And it's like people think automatically he's away and here are these weapons and boom, Darnold's going to be great. I know that Darnold beats out Teddy Bridgewater. Not only that, I don't know that sitting for a year isn't the best thing for Darnold, because this is Matt Rhule's team. It's his offensive philosophy. Darnold's 23 years old. Now get in here and hit the ground running and win the job and go through. And I don't know that that's something that is going to be a big deal or going to help his long-term success, where maybe sitting and watching for a while, getting used to a new system and becoming the starting quarterback when you're 24 isn't Sam Darnold's best path to success. I mean, I know the Panthers can't stand Teddy Bridgewater, and look, watching him play last year, he can't throw the ball more than 15 yards. When he tries to throw an out, he's got to throw it over the DB's head because he can't zip it in there. So I get it. But still, Teddy Bridgewater has been someone who has won some games. Maybe he's got a little bit more zip this year on it. Maybe not. But I think if you just want to kick him to the curb and say, oh, we got to go get somebody else, he could wind up being your starting quarterback. Because if you go all in on Darnold, you're going to find out that that might not work out for you. It's not like you traded a first round pick for him. You traded a second, a fourth, and a sixth. That's a curiosity. That's a guy that maybe he works out for us. Maybe it's now. Maybe it's a year from now. I don't know if trading Teddy Bridgewater is a thing. I would keep him, let him battle it out in training camp, and if Darnold doesn't win, he doesn't win. I mean, it's fine. He still has a future. Like I said, he's only 23 years old. But if you go in with just Darnold and say, okay, we're going to figure this out, oh, you are ripe to be disappointed.
Well, I mean, you're not. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is not sitting week one. Zach Wilson, when he gets drafted by the Jets, is not sitting week one. If you think that Zach Wilson should be starting week one, but Sam Darnold should sit, I got some serious questions for you, because he's in the prime of his career. And yeah, I mean, he's going to a team with more talent, but with more talent becomes the competition element as well. He didn't have competition behind him. In fact, he had nobody around him. So I got the argument that you said, like, hey, he needs to help himself because he has to, especially in a city like that. But I mean, the reality is, Jason, is that he hasn't had personnel around him since he was a rookie in New York. I mean, the last time the Jets – can you remember the last time the Jets had a 1,000-yard rusher or a 1,000-yard wide receiver?
It's been a while.
It's been 2015. Brandon Marshall had 1,500
Brandon
yards.
Marshall,
and this guy named
in receiving.
Chris Ivory had 1,000.
Chris Ivory.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
So, I mean,
Chris Ivory had a couple of huge games for the Jets, yeah.
Yeah, but you got to put pieces around somebody. I mean, for all that Joe Burrow is and can be – he's still a sitting duck behind an awful offensive line in Cincinnati. I don't care who you are. If you have no personnel around you and a dysfunctional head coach, I mean, their leading back last year was Frank Gore. How can you tell me that he has a chance to survive Sam Darnold with a 50-year-old Frank Gore? He doesn't. I mean, at least you have pieces and a complimentary back in Christian McCaffrey if he's on the field.
Yeah, but look at Darnold. And look, from somebody who's watched every one of his starts, he's not dynamic at all. You know how many 300-yard games he had last year?
None.
Zero. Zero. Okay? This is an era where everybody throws touchdowns and everybody throws for 300 yards.
But they have targets.
Even in games when you're losing 30-3, you should be able to go up and down the field and get a couple of garbage time touchdowns and throw for 300 yards. Yeah, your games are going to be, 25 out of 42 for 320, two touchdowns, three picks, and you lose 38-17. But there were no games like that. There were when teams are playing soft defenses on Darnold, he still couldn't find the open wide receiver. He has trouble finding the guy, finding the right matchup, and bringing the ball to him. That's not going to change just because you're on a team with better players. Now, is he going to play better this year? Sure, because he can't play any worse. This guy's the lowest rated quarterback in the NFL the last 2 years.
But see,
and he's playing with better talent alongside him. But to think that he's going to come in and suddenly be great just because he's away from the Jets, it doesn't happen that way.
But here's,
you got to bring something else to the party.
But the elements, when you talk about what's being brought to the party in New York and what can be brought to the party in Carolina, two things. First of all, he'll have a threat over the middle of the field that he can get to. And also, he has play action. He didn't have that in New York. He never had that in New York. I mean, given the fact that you have Christian McCaffrey in the backfield, that allows you to operate if there's eight guys in the box. And so Sam Darnold could certainly do that. I mean, that's something he did at USC. It's something he did do a little bit in New York as a rookie. So you can boot him out. You can go play action. And that allows you to have those one-on-one matchups on the outside as opposed to what you have with a secondary pushback. He didn't have time to do what he wanted to do. And that's why I think you're coming down so hard on him, is because, yeah, the expectations were higher and he didn't meet those. But the unfortunate thing is no offensive line and no – if you went down the streets of Manhattan right now, I would bet you wouldn't even get 50% of the people in New York saying they could name two starters on that offense for New York. Two.
We have one really good player, and we drafted him last
year. Yes.
That's it. No, look, they made some signings in free agency this year, and clearly they're going to have a better offense than they did in years past.
Yes.
But at the end of it all, Sam Darnold's got to show something. He's got to show a spark. He's got to show something where I'm getting it. And there was none of that. I mean, look, we had play action last year because they wanted to give the ball to Frank Gore 25 times a game, which defied logic. And I'm not saying, look, Adam Gase was terrible, and the guy's never going to be a head coach in football again unless he goes and coaches in high school. Okay? I don't even know if he's going to get a job anywhere because of what he did and how bad he was with the Jets. But still, it can't be everybody's fault but his. Right, I mean, seriously, it's everybody's fault but Sam Darnold. It's Adam Gase's fault for not developing. It's his teammates' fault for not being better. It's the fans' fault for not giving him as much rope as they should to be better. It's all the coaching staff's fault for not having the right game plans in place for him. It's everybody's fault but his. I mean, really, this has not been like three starts. It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? And could he be good? Yeah, but he's a curiosity. That's what he is. That's why the Jets got a second and a fourth and a sixth. They didn't get two firsts and two. Look, Matthew Stafford, because you got Jared Goff going the other way, involved three first-round picks, and it was crazy. But really, that's what Sam Darnold is. He's a curiosity.
He is
in a great spot because Carolina is ready for somebody to come in and say, hey, let's go, man. You got running backs. You got two really good wide receivers. One of them who used to be with the Jets. You're ready, man. You are ready to go with that team. Now, your defense is terrible, but that offense is ready. A guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, if they had traded, ponied up a first-round pick for him, man, as long as he is healthy, he'd go in there and he would put numbers up, man. He's still got a strong – I'm not the biggest Garoppolo fan, but he's got a strong arm. He's able to get the ball downfield, and when he's played, his team has won. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's still young. I don't get why suddenly, oh, yeah, Sam Darnold is a guy. The excuses that are made for Sam Darnold, every player in the NFL is going, I wish I would get those excuses made for me. I wish I would get those kind of excuses where I could stink for 3 years and have people blame everybody but me, because that's kind of what's going on. And that's been the popular narrative, is, oh, the Jets didn't do anything to help Sam Darnold. No, the Jets were bad. But if you show you have any kind of talent, you show it by now.
Yeah.
You show it by 30 games in the National Football.
He has shown flashes, but I'll say this much in his defense, is that if you put him, because you're talking about play action, Ryan Tannehill's play action with Derrick Henry in the backfield is much different than what you have in New York. Cleveland Browns, same exact thing. You have a two-headed monster to protect Baker Mayfield. So he's not relied upon to throw it 30, 35, 40 times a game. So if you put this guy in a different atmosphere, I'm not saying it is all on the rest of the personnel for the New York Jets. I would blame Darnold and the entire team, but that goes offensive line, that goes your playmakers on the outside, that goes the GM, and of course the head coach. You put him in a different scene, though, and I think you're going to get a different result, especially if you get some people around him that can elevate his confidence, because you know just as much this game, above anything else, is in between the ears. So if he gets his head right and he delivers with his talents, I mean, sky's the world for him.
Okay, so let's throw it out there, because it could have. I'm not saying it can't, right? Because he was highly touted coming out of USC for a reason.
Yes.
I thought the best fit was with the Steelers. I've said that for months.
Yes.
Then Adam Schefter reports. I'll be, gee, thanks, Adam Schefter. But at the end of the season, I said, Pittsburgh's where he should go.
Yeah.
He can sit for a season, learn the system, and he's very similar to Ben Roethlisberger in that he needs to play a little bit of that street ball where I'm going to keep plays alive with my feet, because he's got that big man escapability like Roethlisberger has. I can step up in the pocket, buy a couple more seconds of time, and find guys downfield. Now, Roethlisberger's arm is betraying him now, and he can't throw the ball downfield like he used to, but still, Darnold sitting in that situation would be good. But for your point about how Darnold could be great, okay, so I tell you this. What's a better situation for the Carolina Panthers? You got Sam Darnold starting a quarterback, and you have Brian Hoyer or David Fales or somebody like that's your backup quarterback. Or is your better situation to keep Teddy Bridgewater and have Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold battling it out in training camp. You feel a lot better knowing the best guy's going to win the job, and if Sam's not ready, at least we're not totally and completely stuck, and we're going to put a guy out there who's not ready. He's going to stink the first 6 or 7 weeks. He's got no confidence. It's shot. I stunk with the Jets, but they told me I had no weapons. I stink here, and I have all kinds of weapons. Well, so it's a better situation if you hold on to those guys and say, yeah, we're going all in on Sam Darnold. I think the Jets showed you going all in on Sam Darnold where it got them the last
year. A little dangerous, yeah, but I think the other option you can give, too, is if you're Carolina, why don't you get rid of Teddy Bridgewater, get an asset out of it, and draft a quarterback? I mean, I'm not saying you're going full-blown Green Bay and you're drafting someone in the first round like Jordan Love, but why not add some young competition? Because you know you're still working on a rookie deal. Sam Darnold's is a little bit different. Obviously, a few years into his career, you get a rookie on his base contract. You don't have to worry about Teddy Bridgewater anymore. Now you have another rookie that's in camp that can give Darnold some heat. It's a win-win situation for them.
Well, I think you kind of have to do that. But you're not going to get your guy unless you trade up from 8.
Yes.
Because the quarterbacks are going – trust me, when it's all said and done, forget about quarterbacks going the top 4. Quarterbacks are going to go top 5.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's basically that's when the draft is starting now at 5. Because the first 4 picks are going to go Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. And then it's going to probably be Mac Jones and then Justin Fields. But if say you want to say, okay, it's Justin Fields and Mac Jones, that's fine. So you're looking at the draft really starting at 5. So if the draft is starting at 5 and there's one quarterback there that everybody likes in Trey Lance, well, guess who's going to wind up trading up to number 5 to get that guy? It's going to be a team that goes to 5 and gets Trey Lance. So unless it's the Panthers who are trading up, they're going to have to get a guy in the second or third round, and maybe he's a project and they develop him. But you're going to need somebody else because your team is ready to win now.
Yeah.
Right? You can't give away another year of Christian McCaffrey, a DJ Moore, and Robbie Anderson. Yep. Your team is ready to win now. And so you need somebody else that, just in case it doesn't work out with Darnold, we have somebody else that can come in. Look, you saw last year when the Dolphins really did the right thing with giving the job to Tua, but when Tua couldn't do it, they went to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Because why? We want to bring Tua along, but we want to show him that there's stakes when you don't play well. And we have a guy that was great coming in off the bench and throwing the football up and down the field. It was a great atmosphere, and it worked for the Dolphins because they figured it out. You got to have that kind of situation if you're going to win with Sam Darnold. You don't know if Darnold's going to be any good. So let's have somebody else there that makes sure, hey, if we have to have, we're not going to have a lost season. Because if Darnold can't, if Darnold plays all year and can't do it next year, he ain't going to get the job the year after that. He's done, and you're moving on. So if you're going to do that anyway, at least have somebody that can salvage that season for you before you hit the offseason and go, okay, 2-4-6 for Darnold didn't work. We're getting somebody else, but at least you're not giving away that season. Twitter at How About a Fresca? Dave at David J. Gascon. Oh, boy. Fox Sports Radio, Jason and Dave. We got more coming up in 90 seconds. But speaking of, Dave has what's trending right now in the wide world of sports, besides the Mets winning a thriller 3-2.
That's peak New York Mets baseball here in 2021. COVID, hit by pitch walk-off, refunds at the gambling lines, the sports books cashing people back. You celebrating on the streets of Beverly Hills?
Yeah, that's what I do. Yes. Just like it's Pretty Woman. I'm up and down the street and I'm going into stores. You work on commission, right? Oh, big mistake. Huge. That's what I do. When I walk around with my bags from Lids and Adidas and Nike, oh, you see, look at all these sweats I bought from Adidas. You work on commission, right? Oh, that's a huge mistake you guys made.
You got Iowa Sam and Lee DeLapp with briefcases and handcuffs to their wrists with all your goods. Yeah, just walking the streets of Beverly Hills.
I got to tell you, be honest, I was actually in Adidas 2 days ago. They have a new Simpsons line of clothing. And they had like sweatpants where it's where sewn in is like Homer and Bart on a skateboard.
That's
and
good.
It looks fantastic. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get a pair of those. Oh my goodness, I got to get those.
I dare ask, what was the price on it?
Oh, it was a little bit more. It was like, I think they were like, were they normally like 40, 45 bucks a pair? I think it was like 55 bucks.
That wasn't
that much more for The Simpsons. No. I was like, oh, I got to get a pair of those. Those are awesome.
Watch out for Christmas time, right?
Now you're just picturing me in that big brown and white polka dot dress that Julia Roberts had as I'm walking around going,
more.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Dave at David J. Gascon, the Jason Smith Show. David Gascon in for Mike Harmon. So there's your big debate on Sam Darnold and the reality for the Panthers going all in on Sam Darnold. But straight ahead, are the Cowboys ready to go all in on a player that may make their fan base go, what are we doing? It's coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like I want to watch Entourage now. Fox Sports Radio. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, David Gascon. In for Harmon tonight. Hey, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, coming up in a little bit over 10 minutes from now, we're going to have the latest on a big developing story involving Trevor Bauer and the Dodgers and some sticky, marked-up baseballs. But reports came out today in the NFL that Jerry Jones, according to ESPN NFL insider Chris Mortensen, is infatuated with Florida tight end Kyle Pitts and wants to find a way to draft him. Now, Kyle Pitts is one of the best tight end prospects we've seen in quite a long time. He's drawing comparisons to Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates, and he could be a Hall of Fame player. He is somebody that is a real big difference maker. But here are the Cowboys that want to step up and get him, David. And I know that Cowboys fans are going, what? We got Zeke. We have a good offensive line as long as everybody's healthy. We have Michael Gallup. And, we, you know, don't forget we're paying Amari Cooper a lot of money. Dalton Schultz was okay last year. What are we doing? Let's go get a defensive player. Let's make that defense better. And I got to tell you, I'd go the other way. If you could get Kyle Pitts, go get him, man. I mean, really, what's going to be the impact bigger on this team, right? Your defense stinks. Mm-hmm. So is taking J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain the second going to turn this into a great defense? Oh, you're getting a good player, right? Don't get me wrong. You're getting a good player there who's going to be a good cornerback, and that's going to help build your defense. But you have an offense now that is really, really good, and you have Dak Prescott coming back. And you can draft a guy like Kyle Pitts that suddenly could take your offense from being really good into being unstoppable. Because you have, where are you going to go? How are you going to cover all these players, right? Not that Michael Gallup is great. Michael Gallup is pretty good. Yeah. Amari Cooper is really good, all right? And Ezekiel Elliott, as long as he is healthy and motivated, is good. And you have a good offensive line, as long as everybody is healthy. You add Kyle Pitts to this, you could see what teams with a really good tight end can do. I mean, look at Travis Kelce and how good the Chiefs have been. And he's been the one mainstay of that team. Every week it's who's the guy with 11 catches for 120 yards and a touchdown? It's Travis Kelce.
Right.
If you add Kyle Pitts and he's that good, your offense goes, how do we stop this offense? And now it doesn't matter how bad your defense is. You just need your defense to be okay. Like, let's instead of being one of the five worst, if we're a top 50, if we're a top 20 defense, if we're the 20th rated defense, you go from like 9-7 or 9-8 to, you know, 10-8 or something like that. Because this is going to be some kind of offense. If he's for real, he could wind up being the number one guy. It's not like, well, Amari Cooper's got to get his and Gallup's got to get his. No, if Kyle Pitts becomes a number one guy, he's the number one guy. How can you cover all of them? Your ceiling as an offense is so good. If you draft him, you would have people would talk about it being the best offense in the NFL, and I couldn't disagree with them. I couldn't disagree that there are better skill position players with the Cowboys than there are across the rest of the National Football League. That's why getting him makes complete sense to me, even though your defense is absolutely abominable.
I mean, I agree with you in one aspect, because you want to morph this team into those old school Colts squads, right? Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Brandon Stokley, and then, God, I have to say it, Dallas Clark. I mean, you do that, You're spreading the field. Now, on one side, I saw him play a ton at Florida. Kyle Trask's numbers came down tremendously when he was out of the lineup. But on the flip side, you're looking at the personnel. The one guy you didn't mention was CeeDee Lamb. I mean, you have Lamb out there, Cooper, Gallup.
75 catches? Yeah.
Almost had 1,000 yards. So I get that point, because you have playmakers on the outside. But the offense wasn't the problem. The fact that Dak Prescott was sacked 10 times in 5 games until he got injured, that's my area of concern. And the fact that they couldn't stop a nosebleed last year, Jason, that division was for the taking. You had Alex Smith on one leg. you had a mess in New York with the Giants, and they still couldn't win that division. It was hand-wrapped for them to take, and they couldn't do so because if they had a marginal defense, I'm not talking about the 32nd, the 31st, but I'm saying maybe the 20th defense in the National Football League, they're a playoff team, and they host a playoff game. I mean, you know from the Legion of Boom days, that defense was good for the secondary. It was tremendous. But it was the pass rush that made them exceptional. And if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, why not work from the inside out? You built a stout offensive line that helped pave the way for Ezekiel Elliott and then carve up things for now Dak Prescott. So why not do that on the defensive side? Defensive tackles, defensive ends, and then worry about the safety position. That's my area of concern if I'm Jerry Jones. Don't bite the bait. I'm afraid that you're doing that right now.
No, because I look at, I can take one side of the football and make it incredibly elite. And it's not going to matter as much how bad my defense is. Whereas if I add one player on defense, my defense is going to be a little bit better. But is it going to be that much better? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be? I mean, you need to bring in four or five new players on defense to make it good. You can add one player on offense and make that offense the best offense in the NFC, maybe the best offense this side of Kansas City.
But you already paid Dak Prescott. So now you need to get your money's worth, and you've done that with him so far with those three or four guys. Now you need something to complement him defensively. You need takeaways and extra possessions.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Dave at David J. Gascon, Dave trying out to be the Cowboys' new GM. We will have more NFL on the way, but coming up next, that developing story involving Trevor Bauer. This is Fox.